Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati, now joined by Rustin Dodd. He covers the Kansas City Royals for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, Rustin Dodd. You can also follow The Athletic at The Athletic KC is the handle. Good morning, Rustin. How are you?
Steven, I feel like this is a new era. You know, I was a little thrown off there by the introduction, but I'm happy to be here.
Are you happy that I've taken it upon myself to start to text you some story ideas for The Athletic?
I need it, man. Right. I need it. So keep them coming.
Right.
Whatever you see on the internet, whatever you see around town, we'll take them.
The story that I texted you guys about last night, I encouraged Rustin to do a feature to really start things off right with The Athletic. We'll see if he takes my advice. But Rustin,
he said whatever you see on the internet. Steven sees a lot of things on the internet, Rustin. Are you sure you want to go that road?
Hey, they're all good story ideas.
Well,
I could tell you that.
Steven, I will tell you that one of my former colleagues actually texted me that same thing about 20 minutes after you did.
And where do you think he got it from?
Yeah, and I said, well, did Steven text you that as well? And he was like, damn.
See? Good news travels fast. But
I thought I was special. Steven's texting this to everybody.
No, you're special if you got that text message last
good.
Night. See, you're on the list. Now, Rustin, so people just heard me introduce you as Rustin Dodd for The Athletic. If you would, won't you tell us about your new venture and what you're doing now for The Athletic, covering the Royals, and just tell us a little bit about the decision.
Sure. So, The Athletic is a kind of a national sports site that has been around for about 2 years. They're originally in Chicago. Then they've opened up a site in the Bay Area, and now they're about in almost every major sports city. I'm zigging my way towards the Milwaukee Brewers.
Good.
Spring training facility. So give me a minute here. In the last year, one of the biggest investments that they've made is covering baseball. So last fall, they hired Ken Rosenthal to head up a new kind of national team of baseball writers to cover baseball. They recently hired Jason Stark, formerly of ESPN, and they've hired dozens of really good reporters from around the country to cover teams on the more local level. So I will be covering the Royals for The Athletic, and it's a different kind of model, right? So it is a subscription-based site. It costs about $4 a month to subscribe. But what The Athletic kind of founders and the people that started this company believe is that there are no ads on the site. There are no pop-up ads. There are no banner ads. You know, like when you click, when you click on a website on Twitter, sometimes you're taken to, whether it's a newspaper website or another, online site, it takes forever to load. There's all these videos popping up. It's just like the reading experience is not necessarily the most convenient or fun. You know, sometimes you get kicked down to the bottom of the page or something, some stuff like that. So there is a subscription with The Athletic, and you get the entire website. So you'll get Ken Rosenthal and Jason Stark, and all in addition to, Seth Davis on College Hoops and, a national college football site and anything that's in their sort of universe. But the idea being that you don't have to bother with an ugly reading experience or ads or all that kind of stuff.
And so for you, you'll still cover the Royals as you always have, and how does this change what you do involving the Royals?
I mean, it won't change much. I mean, I'm going to be on most every road trip with the team, and I'll be at most every home game at Kauffman Stadium, and I'll be, tweeting and writing stories and doing everything pretty much I've always done for the Star. I mean, I think my stuff will be in a different place, obviously, but I also hope, and this is I mean, when I was at the Star, I tried to do this as well, but I do think I'll have a little bit more time to step back and kind of produce the stories that, you know, people want to read. I mean, they obviously, Royals fans want everything, and they want daily stuff, and they want every little information or piece of information they can get on the team, the players, and all those sort of things. But the stories that people generally remember, you know, the stuff that makes them feel like they can connect with, you know, a player or a situation or a decision the team makes, is usually those stories where you can kind of step back and actually offer a little context and some good reporting and detail and all those sort of things. So hopefully, at least it's my goal to, you know, just produce a lot more of those kind of stories that are a lot more memorable for people, as opposed to just the, you know, the daily grind of writing about games and injuries and all that sort of stuff.
So I saw, and I don't know if you saw this, Nate, but our man, Richard Lovelady, asked his girlfriend to marry him. They were engaged. I saw the picture on Twitter. So his name is actually a true statement because Richard loves Lady.
So now there's going to be a Mr. and Mrs. Lovelady.
Well, we're hoping. I think she said yes. But there you go, Rustin. Another story idea, no charge. From now on,
there it is.
I want a percentage, but go ahead, Nate.
What kind of percentage are you willing to pay?
I don't know. What is he offering?
Steven, for these
69 something? I don't know. Go ahead, Nate.
I was once paid $10 for every Family Circus cartoon that my sister and I authored when we were little kids. So maybe there's a rate to go off of.
So how much did you get?
I don't know, but I mean, by the time my mom put the money in like a CD or whatever and gave it to us when we got out of college,
wow,
it was a few thousand bucks by the time we were.
Good Lord.
You know? Anyway, that's a different story for a different day. Russell, will you, with The Athletic, is it all baseball? Will you be charged with doing any other Kansas City sports coverage, or are you just focused solely on baseball for now?
So I'm mostly focused on the Royals. When The Athletic does go into a city and they expand into a market, they tend to, and this has been the case, and so it'll be the case in Kansas City as well, they do cover more or less all the local teams. So The Athletic KC will be covering the Chiefs. It'll be covering colleges on some level. It'll be there'll be some sort of presence for Sporting Kansas City, and there'll be other, you know, other things on the side as well. I'm tasked with mostly covering the Royals, like I always have. That's sort of my area of expertise, at least right now. But I'm sure, like, if, you know, in, you know, September, October, November, I guess maybe more November, December, if, you know, there's not much going on in the off season, yeah, I could easily jump over to Lawrence or Columbia and do a college basketball story, you know. So there's going to be like at least on the Athletic KC site, there will be a kind of a, it won't just be the Royals that you'll eventually be subscribing for. There'll be all sorts of local coverage in addition to the national stuff that you can get.
All right, let's get to some Royals news. Who is your favorite right now, the odds-on favorite to be the starting center fielder on opening day?
Yeah, I mean, I still lean towards Paulo Orlando, just as the kind of incumbent choice. I suppose it's not a super appealing choice.
No.
I guess, you know, I don't know if you would say he's going to be the starting center fielder. Would it be out of the realm of possibility if Alex Gordon's starting in center field on opening day? Maybe. I don't know. He probably will start left, actually. But I think we're going to continue to see Paulo Orlando in center for the first month of the season as they inspect Bubba Starling at AAA and try to find the right kind of mix of Jorge Bonifacio and Jorge Soler, of getting them their reps in the outfield, but also, you know, Soler will DH and maybe Alex Gordon will slide into center field. So I just feel that that position will be Paulo Orlando's to a degree, but a little bit fluid as they kind of maybe look at some other options the first month of the season.
Okay, so I've heard nothing about this. This is just me wanting something to happen. And so, you know, Milwaukee, they go out and trade for Christian Yelich, and then they sign Lorenzo Cain. They have an abundance of outfielders, and they're looking to make deals. And they have two center fielders that they are trying to actively trade, if you believe all the reports. Keon Broxton And then a guy that I like a lot that I'm enamored with in Brett Phillips. He has some flaws, but defensively he kind of fits, the, I think, the profile that the Royals are looking for. And he does have some pop. He does have some speed. Do you think the door's closed on something like that? Because I keep seeing that over and over again, and I feel like, well, there's a young center fielder, a couple of them, controllable, that the Brewers have an abundance of outfielders and center fielders. They're even trying to trade Domingo Santana, and so it just feels like, man, if they can't find a guy to get excited about, and it feels like it's not a very exciting race there for center field for the Royals. Is that a possibility, or are they just focused on doing everything in house right now?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think there could be a fit there. To me, the biggest question, if trying to find a deal with the guys you mentioned for the Brewers, is, you know, obviously what are you going to give up, right? But because you don't want to necessarily give up prospects, right? That doesn't seem like, you know, like you a natural fit would be a guy like Whit Merrifield. You know, like could you give him up and get something in a deal? But the second question to me is, maybe it makes you better in the short term, and maybe it's assets you want, so maybe it's still a good deal. But are Broxton and Phillips, like, are they controllable enough, and do they have, like, are they going to be around long enough to be part of a potential rebuild where you're looking, you know, 3 to 4 seasons down the line, or even beyond that? Because when you look at the assets the Royals do have to trade, to like make a deal like that without giving necessarily up some of their prospects in a kind of a weak farm system, you look at Whit Merrifield, you look at Danny Duffy,
there it is,
you look at some of these guys, and so to trade those guys, to me, you really have to, obviously you have to really feel good about the return, but you have to really feel good about the timeline of the return. In my view, you got to feel like whenever the guys you get will be able to kind of be, you know, maybe they're even at Double A right now, or maybe they're still in the minor leagues, and maybe they're, you know, top 50 prospects, but they're a little bit, their timeline is delayed a little bit down the road. So I think a guy like Broxton could fit, obviously, on the Royals major league roster. I just wonder, does he fit into their long-term plans? And I think that's kind of, the bigger question you have to ask.
So I know that we all know that the Royals were at least willing to field offers on guys like Duffy and Merrifield this offseason. But as we all know, this was a really, really quiet offseason, to the point where there's still all these free agents that haven't been signed yet. So with that shift in the landscape, could we still see some trades, even though we're into spring training, that involve actual big name players like Merrifield and Duffy? Or is that something that now goes on hold until we get closer to the trade deadline in the middle of the summer?
Yeah, I tend to think the latter. I mean, the market was slow this offseason, but part of the reason it was slow was that there were a lot of deals made and that's in part why teams were a little bit hesitant to spend money, I think, because they felt like they could get some better value on the trade market and not have to necessarily commit the long-term dollars to free agents. I think the guys like Duffy and Whit Merrifield are still appealing, and I guess it would be a little unusual for a big deal to go down towards the end of spring training. But both of those guys are so controllable in terms of, I think, you know, Whit Merrifield has, you know, 5 or 6 seasons left before he becomes a free agent. Danny Duffy has 4. So any, you know, waiting, you know, a few months to see how they perform, or, you know, doing something at the deadline, you're still trading a guy with a lot of time left, so his value is still going to be pretty high. So I'm not sure that there's a rush, but I suppose if the right deal came along, I wouldn't be surprised if the Royals, executed at really any point.
Rustin Dodd is our guest. Rustin, the starting rotation looks pretty much set if Nate Karns is healthy, and we've talked about the position players, but it seems like the bullpen, that's the big unknown after Kelvin Herrera and Brandon Maurer. Can you give us some names that maybe early on you've heard some buzz about, or you think that the Royals have been impressed by, some guys that you feel at least somewhat confident they'll be in the bullpen on opening day?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, because so much of what the bullpen might look like on opening day is going to come down to who has options, who doesn't, who needs to be kept on the roster for those sort of like roster inventory issues. So you look like at a couple of Rule 5 picks, Burt Smith and Brad Keller. You know, they probably don't have to perform quite as well this spring to try to land a spot. And I would expect that the Royals, barring something, will be keeping at least one of those guys. And I wouldn't be surprised if both of them are on the opening day roster. So, you know, you fill up two spots right there. They're going to need a left-hander. So, you know, Brian Flynn, I think he's worked this spring on sort of being that guy who can come in and get left-handers out. And he's always been a guy that can, you know, get hitters out, but he's never really been necessarily any more dominant against left-handers than against righties, maybe just a little bit. So, you know, he's a guy that I think will be on the opening day bullpen. Kevin McCarthy, I think, has a decent inside track to a spot. You know, Brandon Maurer, Kelvin Herrera. So I mean, the spots add up pretty quick when you look at some of the roster issues, I guess you would say. I think that some of these guys, like your guy Richard Lovelady,
yes,
you know, other you can put some other guys in the conversation, whether that's Kyle Zimmer. I know that's probably wishing and hoping right now, but some of these younger guys, I feel like they can kind of put themselves in a spot for to be sort of the next guy in line, even if they, as they break camp, their roster situation doesn't require that they be on the opening day roster.
This is a serious question. I know Nate's going to give me a evil look right now. So is Kyle Zimmer functioning? Is he like in one piece? Can he like do things or?
Well, he's here and he's throwing, and I've been gone for a few days as I settled some jobs stuff the last week. So I don't want to pretend like I know more than I do with Kyle Zimmer. I know he's been throwing and will throw in a game shortly, I think. So we'll see how the arm holds up. But I don't know. Anything you say at this point sounds like all speculation, and who knows. But I would like to think, and nobody's said this from the Royals, so this is just maybe me being Captain Obvious, but they would obviously like some value out of him at some point at the major league level. And I just wonder, do you sort of force him onto the roster at some point and just see if you can get something and see if the arm can hold up at all? So that is, I don't know that that will happen on opening day or anything like that, but if you can maintain a semblance of health, maybe that's a possibility.
It does not appear, looking at the stats, that that he has shown up in a game yet down in the Cactus League.
What?
But maybe that can happen before his shoulder starts hurting again. So,
Well, you jerk.
How many spots are open in the rotation?
I guess if Nate Karns is healthy, I guess maybe one. I think Jacob Junis has a pretty good shot to win that spot. And then the other guys that would be kind of in line for that rotation spot. A guy like Jesse Hahn, who they got from the A's, he doesn't have options remaining. And I probably should have mentioned him in more of the bullpen mix. I think he's a guy that they see sort of in that, let's convert this starter to a reliever and see what we can get out of him. Sort of in that Wade Davis, Mike Minor realm. And obviously those are two huge success stories. I'm not sure that Jesse Hahn is going to become that, but he's obviously could be in line for a rotation spot, but I think he could be slated for the bullpen. And then, you know, Trevor Oakes, who they acquired from the Dodgers in the offseason, he has obviously options remaining and could easily slide into the rotation at Omaha, but he's a guy long-term. I think they'll certainly be starting some games for the Royals in 2018. But I would think with how he performed last season and just kind of his track record to this point, that Jacob Junis is, I wouldn't call him a lock for that final rotation spot, but it's sitting in pretty good position.
Rustin, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Awesome, guys. Thanks a lot.
That is Rustin Dodd, who was, I think we may have affected his driving to Brewers camp. I don't know.
I mean, who wants to go to Brewers camp anyway?
they're trading for Brett Phillips. I do. That's the guy I want.
I like him, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, got him on one of your rotisserie teams.
No.
You've been keeping an eye on him though.
I do like him though. I follow that story because after they signed Kane, like, hey, what are you gonna do with Brett Phillips? Train him over here. Come here. Come here, buddy.
What would you give up for him?
Whatever. I don't know.
Anything, huh?
No, I mean not. I mean, it would have to be nothing like Duffy or whatever else. But I just
Merrifield.
I mean, no, he's not. No, they'd have to give more than that. My point is, they have a lot there, and I don't think he may not even have a spot on the roster. But I think he's good enough right now to play center field.
Mm-hmm.
He's better than any option they have right now to play center field. So, and he's still considered a rookie. So, Jake, you like that?
Yeah,
I don't think you do. Back at this on WHB.